Tonight, James gives Michelle Obama a sex change operation. Mike eats a big bowl of Meadios. And we throw Matt in a food processor after wiping his ass with a cat's tongue.
JamesRoswell.com,
and this is Fool Me Once, Shame on You, Fool Me Twice, Shame on Me, Couch Potato Mike.
Oh, I had no intentions of tricking you.
Oh, bullshit.
I didn't, actually.
No, your finger was poised on there. You asked me a question right before we were about to record, just so you could get me saying something stupid like you did last time.
Actually, honestly, I wasn't. I didn't realize what you were doing until I looked over and was like, oh, my finger's on the record button, my bad.
I wasn't going to answer.
Yeah. So what I'm talking about is
badass eating barbecue.
Yeah, there's a new, not new. It's been up there for a few months, several months.
What's that?
There's a barbecue shack down the street that we're wanting to go to.
Tally's.
Tally's, and we haven't, but we're going to eat there later.
From all accounts, from everybody that we've ever heard of eating there, they all say the same thing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it's the best damn barbecue they've ever had.
And the last person there was a piece of fucking shit.
Yeah, Kathy's barbecue, and it was horrible. It's the only fucking time that I've ever stopped eating a rack of ribs.
Let that sink in, boys and girls. Couch Potato Mike stopped eating ribs. And so did I. So we both like, no,
yeah,
we're done.
Between the two of us, we could not eat one rack of ribs.
And it was funny, too, because we were eating them, and we each thought the other one was enjoying it, so we ate more than we intended. And what was that?
What was that? Something weird just happened.
Did you hear your eye poot on you?
No.
Oh, goddammit. That Michelle Obama article is playing stuff.
Oh, my God.
God damn you, Michelle.
Oh, is that the player right there?
Yeah, let me...
Fucking...
Where's the speakers?
Yeah, turn the
speakers. And then turn off the sound for that.
Fucking jackass.
Go. Yeah, I hate when things do that. Anyway, yeah. Yeah, so we were both eating it, both thinking the other one was enjoying it, so we both ate more than we wanted, and we both sort of looked at each other and we're like, do you like these? No. Do you like these? No. Fuck it.
No, they were... Okay, first off, it was a weird fucking cut. Like, the bones didn't go from one side to the other. They stopped, like, an inch in. And then it was grizzle, and it was hot, and unfucking chewable. And whatever the hell he did to this, I mean, it was just fucking horrible. It was a vinegar-based barbecue, but I'm not sure if he added anything but vinegar.
It's weird. It was like, they seemed like they were dry rub. But it was like he got, like, powdered vinegar. It's like he made a powdered vinegar rub.
Yeah, it was just... He didn't stay there for too long. And then all of a sudden, fucking Tally's moved in there.
Yeah.
And that...
They've been expanding.
Oh, God. And every time that place is open, it's swarmed.
Yeah. So, can't wait to eat these. I think my general plan is to get pulled pork, barbecue, and some amount of ribs.
Oh, I want ribs. I'm a ribs person. Yeah. I love me some fucking ribs.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be good.
Hells yeah.
Speaking of being good, what's on the show today?
Coming up on the show today, we're going to be talking about a gorilla MDK. Talking about how Michelle Obama wants you to know how much sugar you're eating. And that we'll be talking about surviving diabetes.
The Diabetes Super Special Show! Extravaganza!
OBS, answering a listener question. Answering a listener question.
Shitballs, I didn't pull that up.
And James will be telling you a bit about his food processor.
Yeah, well, how I'm getting in more veggies via the food processor, anyway.
Let's see, and now he's pulling up something we forgot to pull up.
Yeah, so we got all that coming up. I don't need to actually look at that. I can go, let us... You know what? Let's talk about the gorilla first. We don't actually have an article. I'm sure at this point everyone here knows that recently a young boy fell into the gorilla enclosure at the Cincinnati Zoo. The zoo responded by shooting the gorilla. And, of course, you've got people on both sides like, you know, oh, it was a justified kill. It was, oh, no, they killed that poor endangered gorilla over just a stupid human boy. Yeah. and it just makes me think, like...
Now, was the gorilla attacking the boy?
I've not seen a lot of things that, like... It wasn't like he was, like, whipping the boy around by his, like, leg, murdering him or anything. So, I'm not real sure. And there's more video popping up. Because, you know, now, whenever anything happens, people just whip out their phones and start recording.
Uh-huh.
And that's all they do, so...
Well, everybody
I didn't even, like... I didn't even, like, really read an article. I heard people on the Freebird Hot Wing show, if you guys listen to that shit. I think they're Michiganians, aren't they? Michiganonians?
Freebird Hot Wings?
Yeah, aren't they? They're up there somewhere north.
I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, well, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right, though.
Yeah, but you quit listening when they made fun of you.
They called me a freak and said I sounded like Nicolas Cage.
Yeah. You guys should watch my new show, Ghost Rider. They're like, they can't make fun of me. Fuck them guys. But yeah, I didn't even want to read an article because I don't give a shit. And I hope you guys aren't. I hope you guys, like, I know from some of you guys, are my friends, and I haven't seen my Facebook blowing up with gorilla articles recently. So that's how I know. But it's like, whenever I see the internet blow up about something like this, I think. What else is going on? What's going on behind the scenes? Like, why are people so worked up over dumb shit?
I don't... Well, it's because this is 2016.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we are halfway through it, but 2015 was the year that everybody got offended about absolutely everything.
Yeah, and this year is even more...
And as time progresses, keeps marching on the way time does, human race, especially Americans, get... turn into bigger and bigger fucking pussies and pansies that are offended by everything. And because of fucking social media and fucking everybody's got a computer in their hand at all time. That's what a smartphone is. Fuckers, look it up.
Yeah.
Everybody feels that they can now voice their opinion about every goddamn thing. And rebuttal to this thing, I've been seeing a lot of fucking people pointing out, like, 17 years ago at a zoo in fucking England, same thing happened, but the gorilla picked up the kid, defended the kid against other gorillas, and carried it to where the humans could easily get it.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
and I'm sure people were talking about that. I'm sure that's like, well, obviously the gorilla wasn't going to kill the child. Well, I mean...
Well, keep in mind in that original article... The gorilla was defending the kid against other gorillas.
Yeah.
So it just happened to be a nice one that was over there. I mean, gorillas will attack somebody if you just as much as look them in the eyes.
Yeah, I mean...
That's science.
Yeah, I,
just a gorilla with a small brain. A brain a third the size of ours.
Yeah.
Just like a woman.
Oh, God. All three women listeners are like, fuck them guys.
Please send all your hate mail to james@survivalpunk.com.
Yeah. Which sucks because I like stupid gorillas. Yeah, so I don't condone going around murdering things pointlessly, but I think in this case it might not be the bad thing. Like, if it had been my child and I had a gun and I'm like, I think the girl's going to murder my child,
they maybe. They could have tranked it.
Well,
tranks don't take effect immediately.
Right. I mean, the gorilla could have got pissed that you tranked it and then just snapped the baby's head.
Whatever happened to those net guns that they used in the movies, where it shoots out a net and, like, traps the shit to the ground?
So you mean you would have trapped the gorilla with the baby? The child?
Were they that close to each other?
It was holding it.
Oh. It was holding it?
Yes.
Was it biting it?
I don't know.
Well, if it was holding it, it was probably protecting it.
Who knows?
They could have kneecapped it.
Oh my god! Yeah, so we're gonna replace the Cincinnati Zoo staff with mafias. So it's like they're gonna fucking like kneecapping motherfuckers. Go in there and break the kneecaps. And where's my bananas at? And on that, instead of worrying about what's going on the internet, go plant a tree or do something important. Fuck everybody. Fuck
yeah,
them guys.
I mean, honestly, the only people that this affected was that child, its family, and the Cincinnati Zoo. Everybody else should mind their own fucking business.
Yeah. And on that bombshell...
It is not time to end yet.
Oh! Also, shout out to Matt, who we'll be hearing from later on.
Is he our listener question?
He's our listener question, yeah. So at some point today, Matt, me and Mike are going to watch the new episode of BBC Top Gear. Ugh.
Yeah.
Well, with Chris Evans and I keep forgetting Joey Badabucci's name. What's his?
Matt LeBlanc.
I keep forgetting his
Joey
name.
Badabucci.
Yeah, whatever from
Joey. No, I was about to say Joey Fatone, but no, he was from NSYNC.
Yeah, he was the fat one. We're gonna watch new Top Gear later on. We're gonna attempt to anyway. We don't know if we'll be able to make it, but we're gonna attempt to watch it.
I mean, from reports, people walked out of the recording.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting just to watch till the end of the episode to see if the crowd thins out.
Yeah, look around like there's two people out there and they both have like a scowl on their face.
And one of them's James May.
Yeah. So, Mike told me about something. This comes from Politico.com that Michelle Obama did that I didn't hate. So,
yep, Michelle Obama gets her way on nutrition labels. The final rule has been in the works for more than a decade, but the East Wing has been instrumental in shaping the policy and moving the process forward. Now, let's see. What the hell happened?
Can you scroll button 1212?
It's not scrolling.
Click.
It's not scrolling.
Oh, well, obviously, yeah, hit that stop plug-in. Politico website crashed on us, you dumb motherfuckers.
You son of a bitch. Hold up. Come on. Go down. Come on. That's what she said. Come on. Motherfucker. First Lady Michelle Obama Friday unveiled. God damn it. Stop doing that. Okay, what is this?
What are you doing? Stop doing that.
I don't know. It's doing weird.
Maybe this is why the computer froze up earlier.
What?
This website probably broke it.
You think it broke it?
Oh, God damn it.
Oh my God.
Wow, this is...
We could make the article up ourselves.
Yeah. Michelle Obama ate aliens and then pooped out nutritional facts. Wow.
Oh my God. So basically, Michelle Obama won this battle where they now have to put added sugar content onto nutritional labels on food. You know, where it's like your daily value of what have you and how much carbs and how much protein and all that shit?
Yeah.
Now they have to... Oh, is it going?
First Lady Michelle Obama Friday unveiled the country's first update to nutritional labels in more than two decades. A move that helps cement her campaign to encourage Americans to not be fat, to eat healthier. The new nutritional facts labels, which takes effect in 2 years, and appear on billions of food packagings for the first time, require food companies to list how much sugar they add to their products and suggest a limit for how much added sugar people should consume. Interesting. Two changes vehemently opposed by many food companies.
Obviously.
Because sugar makes you consume products more. It's like, hey, we can't put cocaine in our food anymore. What the fuck, Obama?
Yeah, it's like when they make a product low fat, they make it higher in sugar.
Yeah.
To make it taste better.
Exactly. The impact of this rule is difficult to overstate. Labels on products from candy bars to sodas to crackers and cereal at every point of sale across America must be overhauled at an estimated cost of $2 billion, and those labels will remind Americans every time they open a package how much added sugar they are consuming.
You can't scroll, can you?
I can't scroll, so I'm reading slow.
Very soon, you will no longer need a microscope, a calculator, or a degree in nutrition to figure out...
something or the other.
You know, just close this page out. Just fucking close the page out.
We're not even going to link to it. Fuck you.
But yay, that's what she did. And if you want to find out more and crash your computer, you can go to that website that I'm not even going to tell you what it is. But there's bound to be a better one on the web somewhere.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah. This is, I mean, we even saw that in that documentary, what was it called, Eat Me? No, Fat Fucks. What was that documentary we watched?
We watched a bunch, so I don't remember. Was it the one with the fat little girl eating the bran muffins or the other one?
It was one of those two.
Anyway, I'm sure we talked about it, linked to it at some point in the top past.
Oh, yeah, we had, but it was fucking, I loved that documentary. But they're talking about if they... Like, because they did all those hypotheticals where they, you know, edited the food labels. It's like your daily value of sugar, and it was like 538% your daily value and shit like that.
Oh yeah, yeah. The reason, yeah, they don't estimate the RDA on sugar.
It'll show how much sugar it is, but it won't show you what your daily value is of it.
Yeah, and which is, I mean, basically the RDA is bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
Because it's mostly paid for by like the sugar companies to be artificially higher than it naturally should be anyway. Like, hold on, did you know you could actually eat enough? I don't want to misquote myself. But there is actually, like, you can eat so much, like, pure table sugar, you will die.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you could, like, I don't know what the amount is, but, like, you can just sit there and eat table sugar and then you'll die. You can't consume that much sugar. Your body's like, ah!
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, seeing how that article went wonky, there is one other thing that I wanted to talk about. Huh. And we don't need an article for this. It was something I heard recently. That, basically, scientists are now saying that they're flying in the face of what people commonly believe about breakfast being the most important meal of the day. That if you're not hungry, don't eat breakfast. You're not doing yourself any goods. I mean, all the studies that have shown that you have to eat a big healthy breakfast and all that shit were all paid for by like the American Breakfast Foods Coalition and shit like that, and by Kellogg's and Post.
Yeah.
And Quaker Oatmeal. They're the ones that funded all the studies that basically says you have to eat breakfast.
Yeah, actually,
if you're not hungry, don't eat it.
According to, like, so Kellogg was a weird motherfucker. Not the company, the person, Kellogg.
Mr. Kellogg.
That founded Kellogg's cereal and shit, yeah. I have a text message. He invented his cereal, which is, I mean, cornflakes is nothing now like the way it was, full of sugar shit. It was made to basically kill the sex drive in men so you wouldn't have sex because that was impure.
Interestingly enough,
so graham cracker too.
Cornflakes was invented by accident. Yeah, he was. They were trying to work on some new way of like processing corn, and they had it, you know, all ground up and into sheets. Where they had laid it out, and they came back to the lab or whatever the next day, and it had all broken and peeled and flaked up and everything, and he found that it was good with milk.
Yeah, and it made you not horny.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that's how corn flaked. You know, interestingly enough, popcorn was originally created as a breakfast cereal.
I do know about that.
Yeah, I've seen Alton Brown do it. Like, it's, put sugar on popcorn.
No, I don't want any part of that either.
Put sugar on popcorn and pour milk in it.
Because then it... no, I don't like that.
Well, I mean, it's not that far of a leap. I mean, you know how many fucking breakfast cereals are made from corn?
I do.
The vast majority of them.
Yeah, I still don't want anything to do with any
of that. Corn or wheat. They're all fucking, they're all carbs and grains and shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd kind of like mentally kicking around an idea on making a...
Meteos?
No, well, no.
A meat-based, breakfast cereal.
If I could figure out a way, yeah, no, like a coconut porridge or something, like a paleo coconut porridge, or like kind of like oatmeal, but not like oatmeal at all, like a porridge. Meteos. No, I've thought about that, and I'm like, yeah, just put some like ground beef and like some bone broth, and just call that breakfast, bitches. So main topic of today is all about.
It's all about?
It's all about surviving diabetes and dealing with diabetes and diabetes. I had an article pulled up, but that's before I had to restart the computer because I thought the computer was going slow. But then we found out it was really Politico.
Yeah, fuck you, Politico.
Yeah, so...
You had one job!
Yeah, which is weird because normally Politico is pretty good, but you fucked up, Politico.
Am I alone in thinking Michelle Obama kind of looks like she has some bulldog somewhere down the line in her ancestry? Her bottom jaw protrudes a little bit too far for my liking.
Reminds me of that insurance commercial. It's like, well, she's a man.
Remember, send all of your hate mail to james@survivalpunk.com.
Yeah, that's why Obama wants, like, he wants transgender people to use the bathroom. So his wife can...
Oh,
man. Yeah. Well, she's a guy. Oh, man. So, I actually have an article pulled up that I'm just going to read sort of real quick, since I know you guys are missing the fact that, we haven't read any articles today.
We really haven't.
We talked about the gorilla, but mostly we told you to stop giving a shit about the gorilla. And we tried to read the article about Michelle Obama added sugar, which I think I actually agree with for once. I'd like to know the added. I like to know all the relevant information on the nutritional labels. But that broke and we couldn't read it. So we're going to actually read an article. Look at this, Mike. Look at this. Scroll buzzing 1212.
Oh my God.
Every day I'm scrolling. That was my Strong Bad impersonation news, guys. This comes from paleoleap.com. And it's their diabetes and the paleo article. We probably will not read the entirety of it. And then we will just sort of free ball on the diabetes topic. I have some thoughts. Mike has some personal thoughts. And we'll get to balling. It. Every minute, 3 people in the U.S. are diagnosed with diabetes.
Dun, dun, dun.
For a total of 20.9 million people living with diabetes as of 2011. Holy shit. Dude, that number is like twice that now. 2011? Yeah, that's 50 million now. Whatever. So that number is probably even higher now. No shit, guys.
That's up from just 5.6 million in 1980.
Yeah. Currently, about 7% of the people in the U.S. have diabetes, but that doesn't actually tell the whole story. It doesn't tell the people that don't know it. It doesn't. An estimated 86 million more in 2011.
No, have pre-diabetes.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I know. 86 million more have it. Have pre-diabetes, but that was also in 2011.
Oh my God.
I'm sure. Which is probably why blood sugar high enough to be dangerous, but not enough to be diabetes. Diabetes is sometimes called a lifestyle disease, meaning that it is caused by lifestyle factors like diet and exercise rather than a particular germ or gene. It's often, but not always, associated with other lifestyle diseases like obesity, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, because the same kinds of lifestyle patterns tend to cause more than one of those problems.
When the paleo crowd starts talking about diabetes, we typically start from the fact that it's almost unknown in traditional cultures. Even among people in the later Middle Ages, the natural suggestion from there is to eat like people from those cultures. Mammals processed and refined... Minimal processed and refined foods. But there are a few problems with this. All the traditional groups eat differently, so who do you want to imitate? The ultra-low-carb and diabetes-free Maasai, or the high-carb and equally diabetes-free Kidivans? Diet isn't the only difference. Lifestyle factors like sleep and exercise also have a huge effect on diabetes. It's not just food. A diet that works on the context of one lifestyle might not work on another, and prevention isn't the same as a cure. People who lived in the modern world their whole lives might need more intensive intervention than people who've always been healthy.
Yeah. I decided not to be a dickhole and correct you when you said Kidivans. Because I was like, Kidivans? I'm like, wait. And I had to look and I was like, oh, I've only ever heard that word spoken by people on other podcasts. And I was like, how do you spell? I'm like, oh, it definitely looks like Kidivans. I'm like... I can see why you would say that.
Yeah, whatever. I've never even heard of them. So
they're one of those like weird tribes that we have almost no contact with. Like they're almost no Western influence.
Mm-hmm.
And unlike most of them, like if you go to like
and apparently they live on a high carb diet.
They do, yeah. Unlike a lot of people like in the Amazon and stuff, where it's like mostly like meat and stuff. The Kidivans live almost exclusively on like a high carb root. You know, supplemented by other things, but they're higher carb than most of the traditional cultures that we come across.
And they're diabetes free.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of weird, and which is weird because some people will cling on to things like that as an excuse. Like, well, I can eat fucking 20 donuts a day because the Kidivans eat high carb.
You don't live the way they live.
No, you dumb motherfucker, and that's completely different. If you want to go out in the damn woods and eat high carb from root vegetables that you dig up out of the ground, by all means, fucking go do that. But that's not a goddamn excuse to eat fucking 4 bagels a day.
Yep.
As I say this on cheat day, I had like a shit ton of, what was it?
Food?
No. I made,
added sugars?
I made...
Michelle Obama?
Cornbread flapjacks for breakfast.
Where the hell does the name flapjack come from?
You know damn good well, I told you.
So it meets a flippy something.
It does. It meets a flippy something. Yeah. Flapjack. For a really comprehensive look at diabetes, we need to go beyond trying to imitate hunter-gatherer groups or caveman and look for what kinds of diet changes work for humans in the modern world where we all have to live. Yeah, exactly. So here's a closer look. Let's see. Diabetes, the basics. So it's one of those things where, like, when you say gluten, some people, they're like, oh, it's a mysterious bad thing. Or cholesterol. Oh, no, it's a bad thing. Like, they don't. Like, all they know is, like, they have these connotations of something being bad. They have no idea what it is.
Nope.
Cholesterol. Bad medical voodoo. Bad medical voodoo. No. There was a movie, like, The End of the World or something, where they're like, something about gluten. They're like, do you know what a gluten is? Yeah, no. Not a clue.
No.
Anyway.
You know what they say about high fructose corn syrup.
Check your pockets.
You remember those commercials they tried to come out with, all four high fructose corn syrup?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're like, well, you know what they say about high fructose corn syrup. Why? What do they say? That it's made from corn? And then your body doesn't know the difference. Sugar is sugar.
Yeah, I'm like, why couldn't they find a random person off the street that happened to be well-educated? Yeah, it's like snake oil salesmen. Like, people don't know that you don't know any better. It's like, oh, I must need that. Like, that goddamn, like, you said that your wife's friend's former husband, by former, I mean he's dead, his doctor, when he was on cancer, had him drinking tonic water. Because it had quin or quian or whatever it is in there. No, it's like Q-I-N-N-N-E. So whatever that is, it's supposed to be good for, like, you know, what ails you. But it also had, like, 40 grams of corn sugar. Corn syrup. High fructose corn syrup.
Either way, it didn't work. He's dead.
Exactly.
Rest in peace, JB.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, yeah, no, you're... this. It's like having a really nice kale salad with cocaine sprinkled on it.
And here's the thing. They offered him a prescription for medical marijuana that he refused to take.
Because marijuana is bad.
Well, it's because he used to be a cop.
And marijuana is bad.
Yeah.
It makes you... yeah. Obviously, we saw what happens when you inject a cat with marijuana earlier, right?
Yeah, it turns the head into a plastic bear.
Oh, man.
Injected this cat with one marijuana.
If you're on Facebook, look at the Christians for Michelle something page. Christians for Michelle...
it's all about injecting marijuana.
It's the stupidest fake page ever. It's funny as hell.
Oh, the guy was like... that guy was like doing like fucking... what was it, like... 20 ounces of marijuana a day, and he was having to give two hand gibbers in the alley to keep up his habit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was giving hand gibbers with both hands.
Yeah, exactly. There was a picture of Ryan Reynolds from Deadpool with his mask on, and it was like, look what happened when his marijuana bong exploded.
Oh my god.
Anyway, diabetes, the basics. Diabetes starts with the hormone insulin. Insulin does all kinds of things, but one of its most basic jobs is to manage blood sugar. When you eat anything containing carbohydrates, your body breaks down the carbohydrates. Your body breaks the carbohydrates down into simple sugars and releases them into the bloodstream. The process is highly different for different types of sugars, but this is a basic idea. High blood sugar is dangerous in the long term. I wish we could have this read by like that 1950s school projector reading science guy, like...
oh, my God.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So insulin is released in response. The insulin guides the glucose into your muscles, liver, brain, and fat cells. You don't want it there. Storing glucose in fat cells isn't bad all by itself. They proved me wrong. No. That's how you store energy to use in between meals. Otherwise, you'd need to be eating constantly, and that would be incredibly annoying, since... storing glucose in fat cells lets you save some of your calories for later, so you can use them at 4 p.m. even when you ate them at noon. Obviously, if you keep storing more glucose than you ever need to use, you'll gain weight.
Oh, I got a question real quick on a side note.
Hold on. But that system of storing glucose in fat cells isn't inherently dangerous. Go ahead.
You watch the show The Flash?
I do.
Does it show him eating a lot?
Not always. They mentioned that he has a high metabolism, but it's not like the old show where he'd eat stacks of hamburgers and pizzas and shit.
Yeah, it's because, yeah, okay.
Because what?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, It'll show the Flash, like, running across the ocean.
Yeah.
It's thousands of miles really fast, so you would imagine a run like that, he'd show up on the other side like a skeleton.
You would think, yeah. He does have a hyper metabolism, so they mentioned that he eats a lot.
I want that metabolism.
But I think he consumes, like, I think Star Labs has made, like, hyper calories for him, where it's like, he'll drink an energy shake of, like, you know, it would be like epic mealtime level, like, you know, 1 million calories.
But still, I would want his metabolism. I mean, because, hell, I'd be svelte.
Yeah?
Yeah. I would be.
Svelte. Do you want to take over at the okay?
Okay. Okay, but what does that have to do with diabetes? Every type of diabetes involves some kind of problem with insulin regulation, leading to high blood sugar. People with type 1 diabetes don't produce insulin because of an autoimmune disease in the pancreas. When they eat carbs, they have nothing to bring down the dangerously high levels of blood sugar, and they have no way to store the glucose for later. People with type 2 diabetes produce enough, even too much insulin, but their body is insulin resistant. It doesn't listen to the insulin signals, and the extra sugar in their blood doesn't get stored, so it stays hanging out in the bloodstream, being dangerous.
Dun-dun-dun.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah.
And women with gestational diabetes have basically the same problem as people with type 2, but temporarily and only during pregnancy. The chronically high blood sugar is what causes diabetic side effects of numbness, tingling, vision loss, slow wound healing, and even the need to amputate limbs. All three do have the same basic genetics, but genes can't account for the whole story. Genes haven't changed that much since the 1980s,
no.
But rates of diabetes have risen incredibly. To account for that, we have to look at a diet and lifestyle.
Yeah, and this may be where we actually quit reading. So it goes on to mention that being sedentary contributes to insulin resistance. Obviously, people are a lot more sedentary now.
Gut problems contribute.
Sleep deprivation. I know about this. Another factor that makes high carb dangerous is sleep deprivation. Sleep deprivation reduces insulin sensitivity by affecting important hormones for healthy insulin regulation. For example, sleep deprivation raises levels of the stress hormone cortisol. Cortisol keeps your blood sugar high. Blah, blah, blah. So if you're sleep deprived, then you have a higher chance of getting diabetes and you can't deal with it as much. Inflammation, lifestyle, not necessarily carb. Yeah, it's a lot of things. So, yeah. I'll actually have a link for this article, paleoleap.com, Diabetes and the Paleo Diet. And at this point, we will free ballin'. So, Mike.
Yeah.
You were diagnosed with type 2 diabetes 3 weeks ago, a month, something-ish. Recently.
Well, I wasn't diagnosed with it at that point. I was told that I was pre-diabetic for a while.
You knew that, yeah.
And I can't... And they've just continuously increased my medication.
Right.
Yeah, like, I'm on metformin.
So did they say that you are a diabetic? I thought you told me that you said that you are a diabetic now. I'm not pre-diabetic,
They haven't straight up told... Well, I'm they never said, you're a diabetic.
Okay.
But I have to test my blood sugar. I'm taking 2,000 milligrams of extended-release metformin a day now. I'm taking glimepiride, which is another diabetic medicine.
I don't know anything about that one. Metformin.
No, metformin's the one everybody knows about. But they started me out on like 500 milligrams, and then they doubled that, and then they doubled that. And even taking 2,000 milligrams of metformin a day, and taking the glimepiride, I'm still having trouble keeping my blood sugar levels down.
Yeah.
They say they want me to keep them, like, they say 100, okay, like, somewhere, I can't remember the exact numbers, like 80 to 150 would be good. That's fine. I can't get mine down to 150 most days, even right. When I'm low carbing.
Yeah. Which
is fucking frustrating as hell.
Well,
I low carb the hell out of myself. I've been low carbing myself as much as humanly possible.
As
much as humanly possible to the most part.
Exactly.
Well, that was the thing. Like, after like 2 days in a row of eating nothing but low carb shit this past week, I mean, low carbing, I mean, denying myself all sorts of shit.
Yeah.
To the point of damn near depression. I still tested my blood sugar and it was still over 200.
Yeah.
That's fucking frustrating.
Well, it doesn't surprise me after 2 days.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you still have blood sugars blowing around in your system after 2 days.
Well, and it's all over the fucking place. Like, I tested, like, one day last week, and it was, like, 399.
Yeah.
It's 400, basically.
Was that the night after you ate the 2 Totino's pizzas for dinner?
It was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I knew what it was.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, they're nothing but carbs. But they're yummy.
And they're, I mean... it's like, if you had said, like, oh, I went to a really good Italian place and got, like, a couple slices of pizza. Okay. I ate Totino's pizza. It's like, you ate cardboard with, like, bits of, like, rubber and shoelace on them.
Let's see. Yesterday, they bought lunch for everybody at work, and it was Marco's Pizza, and I got me 3 slices of that and only ate the toppings.
Yeah.
Threw the crust away.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there was still carbs in there.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
But Marco's is so good. Oh, fucking, they're meat lovers, dude. I mean, big fucking hunks of sausage.
Nice.
Yeah, it was. It's fucking really good.
I almost made. I invented. Sometimes I invent things that probably exist, but I don't look up recipes, so they're just my way. Like, I call it pizza stew. I basically just like get like a pound of ground beef, throw it in the crock pot, get a jar of like pizza top, you know, pizza sauce. Dump it in a small jar. Not a big jar, small jar. Pour that in there. Cheese, pepperonis, whatever toppings I want. Throw it on, like, low. Go to sleep, wake up, pizza stew.
You know, and I want to actually talk to some... I want to talk about something real quick. Food substitutions.
Yeah.
And I'm not going in the direction you think I'm going. Trying to find food substitutions can be very dangerous.
It can. No, I agree with you.
And the reason... If you're used to eating food a certain way, and then you get on a diet where you're trying to find a fucking low-carb or whatever substitute, whatever, you know, all you're going to notice if you're set in your fucking ways is the difference, and you're going to hate that difference.
Yeah, it's just...
For people like that, I say, fuck food substitutions, just quit everything cold turkey and go in a completely different direction. That way you have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, there's a grace period where it's like, now I'll do some food substitutions, but I'm trying to even, like, I basically, like, before I went, like, healthy eating,
mm-hmm.
Or even low carb, like, basically I was just a fast food person. Like, it was cereal, fast food, like, when I made a home-cooked meal.
It was a hungry man.
Well, no. Well, yeah, I ate a lot. Yeah, I ate TV and microwave food, but when I was actually cooking, it was like Hamburger Helper, because I grew up believing Hamburger Helper was good. And sometimes I'd do mashed potatoes and like a can of corn.
You know, interesting. I was like one of the only guys I know from the South that was not raised on Hamburger Helper. My mother never made Hamburger Helper, ever.
My mom loves that shit. She would make that. Yeah, like, I remember like, so, I remember some of like the stereotypical like meals growing up on, and they were probably better than what they are now. Like, it wasn't, like, you know, there was,
My God.
There was, yeah, it was a lot of shit.
I have 2, like, horrible memories when it involves Hamburger Helper. One, this ex of mine, who shall remain nameless, I'll just call her Hairy Ass.
Wow.
If she ever listens, she'll know that I'm talking about her. She one time, when we were living with my dad, she made us Hamburger Helper. Of course, that's all she ever wanted to do was make Hamburger Helper.
Yeah.
And she made Hamburger Helper. She found this pack of ground beef in the freezer and thawed it. Did not pay a bit of attention to the fact that it was brown. Frozen. Brown. Frozen.
Yeah.
And eats it. And I'm like, where did you even get the beef? And she's like, from the freezer. I'm like, that beef has been in that freezer for a year and a half. That's the thing. She was vomiting profusely and had to be rushed to the emergency room.
Oh. I was like, a year and a half is, I've eaten meat that old before.
Yeah, but this meat had gone bad. Yeah. I don't even know why it was in there because my dad was lazy about throwing shit away out of the fucking fridge.
Right.
He's like, I can't believe you ate that. It was in there for a year and a half. Why the hell did you throw it away a year ago?
Yeah.
But anyway... And then there was the time my wife, the first time she ever made me Hamburger Helper at our new apartment over Robertson Avenue, years and years ago. And bless her heart, she did not grow up.
Oh, I remember this.
She did not grow up being taught how to cook properly. The way she cooked the hamburger meat was horrible, because I was trying to eat it, and it was like rubber.
I was there that day, wasn't I?
No, you weren't, but I've told you about it enough times.
No, I was there on a day she did this, though.
No, she only ever did this move once. She might have fucked it up some other way, but this time, it was like rubber, and I was trying to choke it down, and she's sitting there, and I'm like getting more and more pissed watching me eat it, thinking I'm just being picky.
Yeah. Because you are.
This was crazy wife time, yeah. Okay? So, she thinks I'm, because I am a picky person sometimes, but she thinks I'm being picky, and she's so fucking pissed at me, and then she tries to eat it, and she's like, alright, well, let's just make something else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how did you cook the hamburger meat? She's like, I boiled it. She boiled ground beef.
And
she boiled ground beef until it was brown.
Yeah, no, I have boiled beef before, but for a different reason than to make something like hamburger helper.
Was it ground beef?
It was ground beef, but it was boiling it till it was thoroughly cooked through, browned-ish, so I could then pressure can it for long-term storage.
That's different. She boiled this till it was brown, and then cooked it more with the noodles.
In the... don't care. No, when I did use my stuff, I used it in chili and it came out amazing. But it was boiled and then it was pressure cooked for like 40 minutes, in the pressure cooker.
Well, that's different.
And then it was cooked in chili for like 6 hours or something.
Well, you see, that would take out any elasticity that there was, but I mean,
yes.
It was basically, oh God. She doesn't make hamburger helper anymore.
No.
Hadn't in a long time.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, go get a hair press and buy a box, but it's very fucking rare.
Yeah.
And when I say hamburger helper, that's like the name brand I'm using.
Yeah.
Name brand hamburger helper.
It's whatever but I mean, there's so many ways to make, like, basically what you... I mean, hamburger helper. You've got ground beef, a noodle product is what you have usually, some sort of carb product.
Yeah.
Rice, noodles... Whatever.
And a spice palette.
And a sauce, yeah.
Yeah, sauce or spices or whatever.
I do basically that with, like, veggies. Like, we'll talk about that later on. But, yeah, I mean, you just...
Yeah, you can make your own hamburger helper. It'll be even a lot tastier and...
A lot healthier, a lot better. We're at the 41-minute mark. Why is the screen being weird?
I don't know.
Anyway, so, diabetes. So, controlling your blood sugar is pretty much the most important thing there.
Yeah.
Which is why I suggest and give away advice for low-carb and or ketogenic. And then on top of that, there's things you can do, so...
My wife's cousin, Melinda, she has basically gone on a ketogenic diet.
She's tiny. I've seen her on Facebook.
You have seen the pictures?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking... She just recently posted a picture of her from a year ago.
And now? Yeah.
Yeah, she's like in full ketosis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she looks a hell of a lot better than she did.
She does.
Lost a hell of a lot of weight. Yeah. So good job, Melinda. I know you don't listen, but whatever.
Right. Sometimes I post these podcasts in the group that she's in, so maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Anyway,
Well, shout out to Melinda, even though I don't think I've ever exchanged a sentence with her in my life.
Yeah.
You exchanged something, but we'll not get into that.
No, don't. So...
I'm a bad, bad boy.
So, MCT oil could be very beneficial. They have products now that I think... I haven't tested, and if I had the money to buy some of these things like Keto Kana, Keto Force, that are exogenous ketones. So your body makes ketones when it's in the absence of carbohydrate for glucose and the presence of high fat. Your body releases ketones, mm-hmm. and then your body will switch over. Usually there's a couple-day period, 2 or 3 days. I would say... 14 weeks being in ketosis, you're pretty much like, you're pretty decently burning burning ketones at that point,
mm-hmm.
and using fat for your primary energy source. Some of these exogenous ketones, though, will get you in ketosis in like, the stuff on the market will get you in ketosis in like an hour or two.
You know what my problem is with diets?
What?
Sorry. My problem, okay, here's my problem with diets. They make you make too many choices.
How?
I like, okay, these are the kinds of food you should be eating.
Yeah.
That's too many choices. I want a diet that's like, alright, you eat this on this day, and you eat this for that lunch. Just tell me what the fuck to eat. I don't know, give me the fucking recipes. I don't care, just tell me what to fucking eat. Don't make me have to fucking figure it out, because when you start making me have to figure it out, I lose complete fucking interest.
Just make the same things. As it is now, you probably eat the same things generally every day. I mean, you eat Totino's pizzas, you eat some McDonald's probably once a week.
Yeah.
At least. You eat whatever, like, that's one of the rules that I usually give away for people on diets. Like, pick, like, 3 or 4 meals and eat them every day. Want to get bored? No, motherfucker, you do that anyway. You're doing that, like, probably if you eat cereal, you're eating the same cereal every morning. You probably eat the same salad every day for lunch. Whatever you're eating, you eat the same day. I eat for breakfast. Or it's like lunchtime, but it's when I eat breakfast. I eat 3 pieces of bacon, 3 eggs, 2 cups of kale, and 2 tablespoons of butter every day.
Okay.
I've done this for that specifically for about a year. That general of the 3 bacon, the 3 eggs,
mm-hmm.
probably 4 years. My breakfast, or hold on, my dinner usually is some combination of about 3 ounces of ground beef,
mm-hmm.
usually grass-fed, mm-hmm. sometimes not, a veggie, doesn't matter. So I brown the ground beef on, like, say, Sunday or Monday morning. So I brown the entire, like, pound that I use for the entire week. So 3 ounces lasts about 5 days, roughly-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I put it in the refrigerator, and then I break out, like, you know, the portion, brown it, add seasoning, because I cook it, I brown it originally with no seasonings,
mm-hmm.
so it'll take whatever, you know. Brown it, I throw in the veggies, I saute them, I add seasonings. Man, you know, the past couple mornings I've been doing a salad made of chopped veggies and the ground beef on top. With a sauce, and the sauce is made of veggies, and I'll talk about that.
I could probably do that.
It's not hard. I mean, veggie, meat. And, you know, like, I kind of stick in my wheelhouse of, I usually season whatever I'm eating, the meat and veggie combination that I cook.
You know, God
taco
damn,
seasoning.
That's what I'm going to do. Starting tomorrow and continuing on through the next episode.
Uh-huh.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to start a specific diet where I eat the exact same thing every day for a week and see what that does to my blood sugar.
There you go.
And we could even make it a fucking segment on the show.
Mikey. I used to do blog posts like that.
Either that or like Mike's diabetes report.
Yeah. But back to the exogenous.
Wait, I used to do the Mike's paleo report.
Yeah. You did it for a month. You did it for a month, so 4 episodes.
Well, I'm just going to keep fucking... I'm going to see if this works. I'm going to, you know, after a week, do you think I should start seeing, like, results in blood testing?
Maybe. I mean, I don't want to give you... I don't know that if a week is big enough change...
Well, I'll keep doing it for more than a week.
I mean,
but I'll do weekly reports on the show.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to bacon and eggs for breakfast. Do you think a salad for lunch would be okay? Like a chef salad with like no croutons or anything in it? Or is that too much carbs? That's my problem with this lunch.
The dressing. I'd be iffy on the dressing. Well,
what would you recommend?
You're not hungry for breakfast.
Yeah, I know. Very rarely am I.
Do bulletproof coffee, and then
I'm gonna have to quit coffee.
Why?
Because the only way I can even drink coffee is by putting a shitload of powdered creamer in it.
I said do bulletproof coffee in the morning.
What, black? Stevia has a horrible aftertaste.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason I quit using Stevia. I bought a little tiny bottle of Stevia, never finished it. Might as well have been aspartame.
Then yeah, do it black or...
I can't do black coffee, so I'm just going to have to quit coffee. I hate the taste of coffee. The only reason I drink coffee is to wake up. So I'm just going to have to quit coffee. Start drinking lots of ice cold water.
Yeah.
99% of everything I drink on this planet is water, so...
Yeah.
I've weaned myself off sodas to an alarming degree.
We'll see if you can tolerate xylitol.
What's xylitol?
It's a sugar alcohol. It's...
Well, that... What?
It's different. Your body doesn't process it like a sugar.
Oh, so I'll be Irishing up my coffee.
No, it doesn't... Well, it will set off a blood alcohol meter, but no, it is not going to get you drunk. They're minuscule.
Okay.
You couldn't... If you swam in a bat...
Is there a more, like, diabetes-friendly salad dressing than, like, ranch?
Oil and vinegar.
Oil and vinegar?
Yeah.
Like a vinaigrette?
Yeah.
I mean, like, sell bottles of oil and vinegar is what I'm saying.
Newman's Own has a bottle of oil and vinegar that's decent. I just have oil and vinegar.
I'm just going to fucking find something else besides salads. Because if I don't like the dressing, then I won't be able to eat the salad, and bada boom, bada bing, I mean, that's my fucking... Yeah. I know I can do bacon and eggs. I'm going to just fucking just
Why don't you just eat that for lunch, and then eat...
Yeah, what? See, that's I'm just going to go on and all. I'm going to take the Cool Hand Luke diet. I'm just going to start boiling lots and lots of fucking eggs, and just if I'm hungry first thing in the morning, I'll eat eggs. I'll eat boiled eggs for lunch, and then I'll eat some kind of beef for dinner.
Yeah,
probably a hobo roast. I like hobo roasts.
Make sure you. We'll talk about that off air. About your specifics, we'll work on that. Back to the exogenous ketones, they could probably help you deal with the diabetes a little bit, because
and a spoonful of coconut oil before bed.
Yeah, I keep meaning to get you to try that to see if
I need to just buy another thing of coconut oil.
Yeah, I actually have
because if I have it in my room next to my medicine, I'll remember to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I should start doing fish oil.
I don't see a reason why not.
Okay.
I mean,
I used to do it all the time. They wanted me to do it because of my. They said my triglycerides.
We should go to GNC today. I have a GNC card now, and we can get a discount there.
Oh, sweet.
Because you get the stuff from Walmart, you're just throwing your money away anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's. Mm. I mean, it's worthless. But
fish oil tablets from Walmart are worthless?
Pretty much.
Why?
They don't test that stuff very well, and that's why it's so cheap. It's. It's either gone rancid, so you're taking rancid fish oil.
Oh, I never used to buy it from Walmart. I'd get it from Aldi's.
Even worse, I'm sure.
They're capsules.
Yeah. So during a disaster, you have a few ways to control your diabetes.
Okay.
Or you're going to die. This is the same. So the advice that I'm giving here is pretty much for type 2 diabetes. Type 1 diabetes, insulin dependent.
Yeah.
You're probably fucked. There's a few things you can do to last a little longer, and type 2 diabetics, I think if there was a shit at the fan, a lot of type 2 diabetics would not be type 2 diabetics anymore.
No, not especially, not if you started losing all that fucking weight. And
losing the weight, yeah.
Became a lot less sedentary.
A lot less sedentary. Can't eat junk food constantly. I mean, I've seen preppers that store, like, you know, mountains of Oreos and shit. They might die. And I hate the excuse, well, during the apocalypse, I'll just lose weight. Maybe, or maybe you'll die. Ah. Anyway, so extreme calorie restriction will control your diabetes. And I'm talking 1,000 calories a day.
Mm-hmm.
And this is for 1 and 2, type 1 and 2 diabetics. So basically, starving yourself, your body will go in like full-blown ketosis, like you'll only be using ketosis. And that will...
Maybe I should just start starving myself.
I don't think you could make it.
What do you mean?
You'd be like a roid rage addict. Like, you'd be killing everyone.
I should try that. Not killing everyone. Just, like, fucking greatly diminishing my food intake.
You could. I wouldn't.
I've been trying to cut out in-between meal snacks. It's funny, I'm always the hungriest way late at night. Yeah. I think that's a huge part of my problem.
Yeah?
I'm a couch potato survivalist. Everybody knows this. Which means I'm the guy, I sit in for those people out there that have the questions, okay?
Yeah.
That's why I ask all these questions on the show. And I really don't, I've got a condition and I really don't know that fucking much about it.
Right.
And I don't know how to fucking manage it, and I'm trying to figure this shit out. And I'm the kind of guy, I can do anything if I'm told to do it. I mean, I have free will. I can say no to shit.
Yeah.
But if I'm given, like, specific instructions, I can do that. Like, at work, anytime they want me to change one of my job functions, which happens fucking constantly, because they don't know what they're doing half the time. Yeah. Like, we're going to do this. Oh, that doesn't work. Okay, do it this way. Yeah, I fucking roll with the punches, and I do follow the new instructions. Constantly. I just want fucking... Basically, I just want to be told exactly how to do it.
Okay. I guess with that, let's wrap up the diabetes and answer my Matt from Oklahoma's question.
You're not going to talk about your food processor?
Oh, my food processor, yeah.
Nutrition punk.
Yeah, yeah. The so what I've been doing to try to get in, I love being a carnivore. I could never be a vegan because I'd eat my own hands off. But so eating too much protein can actually kick you out of ketosis. I'm trying to like limit my protein, you know, to certain amounts, to a moderate amount of protein. I'm not trying to live a high protein diet. But give it a chance, I'll easily slip into that. It's one of my biggest problems. So I'm trying to get in more veggie matter.
Tuna and mayonnaise.
You could do that.
Trying to get in
more veggie matter, and I've been using my my Ninja food processor for the past 2 weeks or so. Mm-hmm. To just chop up veggies. Like, so basically in lettuce there's not a lot of nutrition. Like, you're eating water. You're eating like green leafy water. So I've been taking things and throwing in my food processor, like I'll throw in some broccoli and dice that up, throw it in the salad bowl, throw in zucchini and cucumber, pulse that up, throw it in there. And then I've been making like one day I had some like leftover salad mix that was like on the verge of going bad. I'm like, oh, I need to eat this like before it turns to slime, like today. I need to eat it today. So I threw that in the bullet with a whole avocado and then like some seasonings, like a lime packet, some oil, some MCT oil, blended that up, and I made a salad dressing. I made a salad dressing from salad.
Oh, my God.
And I put that on there, and then I added, you know, my 3 ounces of ground beef to the top, and then some taco seasoning and stuff, and then I made basically a taco salad. One day I threw in a Roma tomato with the avocado and made a sauce like that. So it's neat making a sauce to making basically a salad dressing from salad. Mm-hmm. You get in more stuff, and I seem to enjoy better the veggies when they've been processed like that. Like, I don't know, like the seasonings are more homogeneous. It's just better. So I like that, and it's I don't know, when it takes up less space, it's a little bit easier. I don't know. So you know, once you have like a zucchini and a cucumber, like that's like, oh, and radishes. I've been throwing radishes in there too.
That's like a great time for your girlfriend.
Yeah, radishes. So just everything you could throw. I thought about getting some spinach thrown in there too. Just get all that in there. So that's what I've been doing. Food processor to get in more veggies daily.
I've got a food processor.
You do.
If you count the magic bullet, I have a couple.
Yeah. You could do it too.
Yeah, I really should.
And
now it's time for our listener question.
Yes.
Hey, it's Matt again from Oklahoma, and I have another question. I want to know alternative toilet paper, alternative means of toilet paper, both short-term and long-term. You know what I mean? Because short-term you can use, you know, cut off part of your socks that you're wearing, but you can only do that for so long before your socks are all cut up. So short-term and long-term uses for toilet paper, or not uses for toilet paper. Why do I always get tongue-tied? You know what I said, so please answer. All right, bye.
All right, that was Matt from Oklahoma calling in, wanting to know, well, you guys heard it. We read it. Well, I tried to listen to Mike read it, and he got tongue-tied, much like Matt from Oklahoma did. Basically, short-term disaster and long-term disaster.
Toilet paper.
Toilet paper. So how to avoid having disaster pants.
Raise no. geese.
I will try to find a link to that. So there's a 14th century French humorist that wrote about the different things you could use at the time for toilet paper.
And the best thing was a goose's neck.
Yeah, the most luxurious thing you'd ever use to wipe your ass with was a goose's neck. Of a live goose. You don't want to kill the goose. And the goose are not happy about it either. A lady's bonnet. It's all sorts of weird things. It's funny as shit. But I've actually written about this, and I think we did a podcast about toilet paper before, or about using the bathroom in the apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
So I have several thoughts on short-term and long-term.
My best advice is start stockpiling it now. Toilet paper is cheap, and it'll keep forever.
Yeah, you could stockpile it. There's always, if you go on those like coupon mom websites and stuff, there's coupons to get basically free rolls and shit. Like,
oh god,
double
yeah.
up your coupons. Much to the chagrin of like lady friends. Although Serenity's nice, she's never said anything. I buy the second cheapest toilet paper at Walmart. So there's like,
oh yeah, the cheapest toilet paper at Walmart's horrible.
It is. It's like under a dollar for four rolls. It's complete garbage.
Oh, yeah, it is. It'll rip off in your ass, and then you have to go in with more toilet paper to get the first set out.
Yeah.
No, okay.
The second cheapest works well, though.
Now, and here's also a thing that, a little interesting thing that I got from, actually, this guy's in the Guinness Book of World Records as the world's cheapest man.
Yeah.
This motherfucker, he always buys two-ply toilet paper and then separates the plies. And believe it or not, I have taken up this practice. I don't pull the whole damn thing apart. I do it as I go.
Yeah.
I have learned how to wipe my ass four times on four squares. Basically, you pull off the four squares, okay? Make sure they're squares. I've seen cheap toilet paper where they've now shrunk it down to rectangles. But you got four squares. Pull the plies apart. Fold and then fold again. You can wipe your ass with, like, those four half squares. Fold that over and wipe on the other side. And then you've still got the other ones to wipe your ass with. Yeah, that's technically four wipes out of four squares. You got to be careful, though.
No,
Well, that's the weird thing. And I thought it was bullshit. I mean, because, like, it seems like you would have to use twice as much if you're only using half a, you know, one ply.
Yeah.
Two, but you don't. For some reason, you don't.
Huh.
It's virtually as durable as if you'd used both plies. I don't get it, but it fucking works.
And that's not for everyone, but during a disaster, yeah, you might want to split the plies.
Also, here's another tip from him. You can reuse and you can wash and reuse paper towels from 5 to 8 times if you're careful with it, depending on what you cleaned up with it. And you can wipe your ass with those, too, in a pinch.
Something that I like to do is you can stockpile shitty paperbacks. That was used for like centuries. Like you get like trashy novels, and while you're shitting, you read the book, and then you pull off the pages you've read and wipe with them.
Oh my god! And if you don't want to do that to a book that you really like, you know, some people like to reread books.
Yeah, I do.
Find a fucking used bookstore or something like McKay's that always has bins outside.
Free books and
fucking full of free books.
And if you look around, some of their paperbacks are like a nickel anyway inside. So.
Oh god, yeah.
You can, I mean, so that, like Alton Brown said, that's a multi-purpose item. Like, it's not a unitasker. Like, you have a book and you have toilet paper.
Oh, God. Like, books are awesome in a survival situation. You've got toilet paper. You could have kindling,
fire tinder,
fucking entertainment to stave off boredom.
make paper airplanes. I mean, yeah.
So hell yeah.
I'm a big fan of using that. You could go the Ron Hood method and use, like, the butt rag. You could use the butt rag. So Ron Hood's no longer with us, bless him. So, he used to let people take two bandanas with them when they went on their Hood's Woods camping excursions. A regular bandana and then a brown or whatever color you wanted butt rag.
A butt rag.
And you use it and then wash it.
Washable toilet.
Yeah, use it over and over and over. I'm not super fond of that, but during a disaster, you might have to do it.
And keep one thing in mind. Toilet paper as a commodity... It's a relatively new idea, especially in the history of man. I mean, keep in mind, they didn't used to have toilet paper.
No. I mean, you could use leaves if you want to do that. There's some better things, and we'll talk about that in the long-term portion.
Is there any truth behind the corn cob myth?
I mean, I guess you could wipe with a corn cob. I mean, I guess you could... I'm not gonna pull McDodge and use a pine cone. No.
I was just thinking that.
No, definitely not.
One more use for it, but you'd gut it out.
I know some of you will definitely not like this, and I'm not a big fan of it either. I know in the Arabic world, they use water in the left hand.
Yeah, you eat with your right, and you wipe with your left.
Yeah, which is, I don't like it because I'm left-handed, so they think I'm definitely a devil's child. Uh-huh. But yeah, I mean, they have a pot of water.
I eat with
both
hands, though.
Yeah, me too. I don't.
Yeah.
Whatever. That's an option. For long-term stuff, like we said, you can just... Obviously, if you do store toilet paper, that's going to run out. Books will eventually run out. You could look at, like, growing flax to use that as a thing. I like mullein. And Mike knows mullein because I pointed out every time we drive by. I'm like, "Hey, that's a mullein."
Yeah, it's a velvety leaf.
Yeah, and it's called cowboy toilet paper. Like the cowboys used to wipe their ass with it because it feels like velvet. I can't imagine too many things better to wipe your ass on than mullein. It grows in bad disturbed soil. It's a weed that you can wipe your ass on. So if you happen to have some mullein plants growing around your property. Go collect their leaves. Obviously, they're a sort of spring, summer. They're going to die out in the winter. You can store some. Or you can use that as a supplement. So during the summer months, you use mullein to wipe your ass with. During the winter months, you use your books and your toilet paper and your butt rag.
Yeah.
Or for God's sake, your left hand.
You know, all this talk about butts.
Yeah.
I can't help but look at Jordan. I don't know how cats and dogs can sleep with their nose that close to their asshole.
I don't know.
But then again, they lick the damn thing.
Yep.
Anyway.
Yeah, or Matt from Oklahoma, you could lick your asshole. You could just, like, rip out some ribs, bend down, lick your asshole clean, you're good to go.
It's an acquired taste.
And on that bombshell.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think it's time to end after that. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
This is James Sicklin Burnett.
And like I said, just stockpile the damn toilet paper, because you'll never get that taste out of your mouth.
DIY to wipe your ass!
You guys!
Guys.